Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 13, title of the message is, There Is Coming a Day. First 1 through 5, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, and it is mine. And Moses said unto thy people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread eaten. This day came you out of the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy father to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. When Moses spoke this to the children of Israel, you must understand they had been in bondage for over 400 years. And I'm sure these people probably never thought that they would see the land which was promised to Abraham. A lot of them died there in the mud pits in 400 years. It's a long time to be in bondage. And as we've been talking about in Sunday school, and Sunday school and Bible study on Wednesday night kind of have been mirroring each other. But the promise in Genesis 12:1, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. It's hardly necessary to point out the force of the repeated I wills of this passage, because they introduce promises of eternal consequence, worldwide scope, and monumental importance. The man who was about to become a great nation could not at this time be a father of one child, but God had promised. God had promised. And in marked contrast to a world that that time had come to ruin because it insisted on making a name for itself independently of God, the obscure man whose name was to become great because God was promising to bring it to pass. To a man embarking on a perilous journey that we have read in Bible study that involved famine, threats on his life, problems in Egypt. But God had promised unique support and encouragement, even to the extent of accepting full responsibility for Abram's well-being. And now the God who had promised to bruise the serpent through the seed of Eve sharpened the focus on his revelation and showed that it would be through Abram that blessings would come to the whole world. This revelation on God's part necessitated recognition on Abraham's part. Abraham had to recognize who God was. He had to recognize that the promises of God was true. And in some way that in the scripture it does not describe that, but Abraham just picked up and took off, not really knowing where he was going, but following God. Amen. He arrived at the necessary conclusion that what God had promised, he was going to perform it. Romans says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. On that basis, Abraham moved in faith. But the children of Israel, 400 years later, who was toiling in the mud pits, making the bricks to build the great cities of Egypt, wasn't there when the promise was given. They had only heard about the promise passed down from generation to generation to generation that God was going to give them something, that God was going to give them a land. That's all they had heard about for 400 years. It was passed down. And all of a sudden there came a man, amen, that had escaped Egypt and went into the desert of Midian and was tending sheep, and all of a sudden got away word from the Lord, and here he came back to Egypt, and he walked into Pharaoh, and this man said, "Let my people go." Now, I'm telling you what, when you begin to stand on the promises of God, and you begin to move on the promises of God, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's not going to let go. I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to try to tighten his grip, amen, on you to discourage you, amen, to get you to throw your hands up and say, "Well, it's been a long time since I got that promise. Amen, it's been a long time since I got that word." Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go." And so what Pharaoh does, certain things begin to happen. In Exodus chapter 5, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh commanded the same day that the taskmasters of the people," amen, "and the officers, saying, amen, you shall be no more give the people straw to make brick, amen, as before, amen, but let them go and get straw for themselves. And the tail of the brick which they did make henceforth shall lay upon themselves, shall not diminish aught thereof, for they, amen, shall be idle. Therefore their cry, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Let there," and all the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your straw where you find it, yet not aught of one of your works shall be diminished." I'm telling you what, amen, through this journey, things sometimes are going to go haywire. Amen, and if we aren't careful, we'll lose hope, we'll lose our focus, and we'll doubt the promises that we have received from God. I'm sure when Moses showed up, they thought, "We're getting out of here." Amen. Moses came back. Amen. He's got to be the deliverer. He's got to be the one. But as I said, the devil is not going to loosen his grip upon you. But you've got to stand. You've got to stand. You've got to stand on the promises of God. Why? Because I'm telling you, there's a day coming. Did you hear me, church? There is a day coming. Well, glory to God. Here they are, trying to make their bricks without straw. The officers of Israel go to Pharaoh. In chapter 5, the Bible says, "And when they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh," and here it comes, "and they said unto them, 'The Lord looked upon you and judged, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servant, to put a sword in their hand to slay us.'" As they leave Pharaoh, they're walking back and they run into Moses and Aaron. And here comes the venom. Here comes them spewing it out. They let loose their anger and outrage against them. And here Moses' faith is tested by the repudiation of his own people. As they say to Moses and Aaron, literally, "You have made us stink." To be rebuffed by Pharaoh was one thing, but to be renounced by their own people is another. And Moses and Aaron must have been cut to the core as the venom of the people was poured out upon them. Moses standing there, he's got to make a decision. He has caused more work and labor for these people. And they are now spewing, the officers of Israel is now spewing their venom on Moses. And I'm sure the scriptures doesn't say, but I'm sure they said, "It's better that you didn't even show up." It's better that you didn't even come back. But Moses doesn't give up. He doesn't walk away. He turns to the Lord. In the last part of chapter 5 of Exodus, he returned to the Lord and he said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated the people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" He's even questioning why he even showed up. "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." He's leveling a complaint to God following Pharaoh's refusal to, amen, give straw, and being attacked verbally by his own people. The reason Moses did not walk away, now listen to me, because, and I've said it before, the children of Israel was not at the burning bush. Okay? And I'm going to read this in Exodus chapter 3. "He kept the flock of Jethro, his father." Amen. "The priest of the Midian, he led the flock in the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, now I'm going to go see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And when he got there, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, and God called him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not hither. He said, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thy standeth is holy ground. He said, moreover, said I am the God of thy father. He's repeating the promise. Amen. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrow, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up to that land, unto a good land and a large land, unto the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jesuites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. He said, come now therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people to the children of Egypt, Israel, out of Egypt. That's why Moses didn't walk away. Amen. He got a word. Moses knew there was a day coming. Moses knew that God had spoke, even though the children of Israel wasn't there. They weren't there when Abraham got the promise. But I'm telling you, people, even the promises of God will not fade. Amen. In time, they stand for sure, for everlasting to everlasting. And I'm here to tell you, people, there's a day coming for God's people. That's why he didn't run. He turned, went to the Lord. He leveled his complaint to God. Why hast thou sent me? Look what I have done. I've made it worse. In chapter 4, the Lord told him, in chapter 6, I'm sorry, the Lord said unto Moses, now thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh. Now thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. God is telling him the same thing he told him at the burning bush. Sometimes God has to remind us. I don't know why he does, but he does. And thank God he does. Letting us know that his word is sure. With a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. And God spoke to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I'm telling you what, we as people of faith, that's all we need to hear. We don't need to know why. We don't need to know this. We don't need to know that. And I know we want to know these things. But all we need to know is, he is the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, he's telling him, and Isaac, and to Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, listen to what he tells him. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I'm telling to this church, he is still God. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give you for an inheritance. And he says it again. I think there's a theme God's trying to get through Moses. I am the Lord. And so Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. I'm telling you what. You go through something, and you go through it long enough, your faith gets a little weak. I don't care who you are. These people have been beaten and beaten and beaten down. And here Moses is telling them, that I am God. God said he's the Lord. He's going to deliver you. And you know what they're thinking? I've heard this for 400 years. There's a deliverer coming. And after a while, your faith gets so weak, you think God has forgot all about you. As you sit and wonder why. And I'm telling you what, I'm telling people, don't go down that rabbit hole. Because once you go down that rabbit hole of why, you'll never get back out of it. So don't you go down that hole. Go read Job. Job never asked why. I think we are a people who demand why. Growing up, my dad said, cut the grass. Well, why? Because it's 6 inches high. Take the trash out. Well, why? Because it's overflowing in the kitchen. You don't need to know why. Just do it. I was always one. I need to know why. Why should I cut the grass? Why should I do this? Why should I do that? And we have become people of, we need to know why. But we don't need to know why. I said a couple weeks ago, that song in that red book, it says, I'll understand it better by and by, needs to be ripped out because I'm not going to care by and by. I get to heaven, Gary, I'm not going to run up to God and say, hey, I want to know why this happened and this happened and this happened. I'm not going to care. I'm going to be standing in his presence. Why am I going to care about what happened down here? The former things, what's the Bible say? Are passed away. And so these people didn't jump on and they're all high-fiving. No, they're not. They've been beaten down for 400 years. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to see your day come, you got to stand for God. You might be curled up, sucking your thumb in a corner, but you better have the little bit of faith of a mustard seed. You better have something in there that still believes. You've got to stay the course. And you must believe in the word or the promises you got, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God. Think of all the profound questions to which God says yes. Does He love you? Yes. Are you forgiven? Yes. Is He the healer? Yes. Amen. Is there purpose for my life? Yes. Amen. Is He my deliverer? Yes. Amen. Is He a miracle worker? Yes. Is there life after death? Yes. Is there a heaven to gain? Yes. Is there a hell to shun? Yes. Amen. Does He hear my prayer? Yes. Amen. Do all these questions and many more concerning His promises. Amen. God is an everlasting yes God. Paul questions, how can a person who preaches a gospel of yes that never becomes no, even consider becoming a yes and no person? You know what a yes and no person is? That's double-mindedness. Double-mindedness is unstable, the Bible says. Amen. You can't say yes and then turn around and say no. You can't say God can and then turn around and say, well, I don't think He can. You can't say, well, I believe He can do this, but I don't know He can do that. And I say it all the time. If you can believe in the virgin birth, everything else ought to be a piece of cake. We got to feel confident that today's yes will never become tomorrow's no. Hebrews 13:8 answers that question right there. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise the Lord, He doesn't change. Amen. We change. We have to change. But I'm thankful that He's a God that does not change. I'm thankful that today's yes will be tomorrow's yes. If He's the healer today, He's going to be the healer tomorrow. If He's the deliverer today, He's going to be the deliverer tomorrow. If He's the God of salvation today, He's the God of salvation tomorrow. And if He gave the promise to Abraham back then, the promise is still yes today. Oh, glory to God. He's not going to change. The author is really pointing to what He has said throughout Hebrews. Do you not remember the dozen or more characteristics of the Son in chapter 2? What more could you ask? Go read chapter 2 when you get home. Talks about the characteristics of the Son. What more could you ask? What more could you want? What God was in creation, He is now and always will be. Reality will never change that. That is reality. Come on, don't follow after the fake. Don't follow after the false. There's a lot of them out there preaching, hey man, you can get this and you can get that and you can have this. I'm telling you what, the only thing I need to know is Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected. Amen, that's it. Amen, He was crucified and He was resurrected. Amen, that's the only thing I need to know. That's the foundation that I stand on. The Bible says there's no other foundation that man can lay unless he lays it in Jesus Christ. And that is the crucifixion. That is the, amen, the death and the burial, and that is on the third day, the resurrection. That's all I need to know. So don't follow after the fake. Hold firm to Him, to the confession of your hope without wavering, for He's faithful. So Moses knew out of the burning bush what God had told him. And he's standing for these people who had been beaten down. How do you get a bunch of people that's been beaten down, amen, to believe in what you're saying? To believe in what you're saying and what you're doing. God had to step in. And we know the story of the plagues that came through. And for God's sake, I don't have enough time to go through all that stuff. But we know it. The last one, the death angel came through. And finally, Moses knew a day was coming. People, you got to believe. We don't want to wait. We want it now, but sometimes God's timing isn't our timing. See, the Bible says in Isaiah, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth the strength. Even the youth shall faint and weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. His power for our weakness, his strength for our weariness. When he does, our energy will exceed the vigor of the youth. If we're willing to wait on God's timing, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not wait. God's great exchanges our weakness for his strength. It will be renewed by his omnipotent strength. Our fears will be relieved by his omniscient power and his understanding. Amen. We're now ready to receive our day. These people beaten down waited for 400 years. Moses trying to, I don't know what. You know, as a pastor, you try this and you try that and you try the other and you try that. Well, sister, sometimes God just has to step in and show. After all, Moses tried, I don't know what he did, high-fived him, I don't know, tried everything, but they were not listening. And then God did it. The plagues came. You read what the plagues was, but the last one was the defining plague that turned Pharaoh's mind around when he killed the firstborn of all of Egypt, if the blood wasn't put on the doorpost. And when the Israelites slew that lamb, they had no idea that it was a representation of the lamb to come. They took that blood and they put it up on the doorpost. And when the death angel came through, he passed by, amen, that house. The firstborn of man and beast, and there was wailing and weeping and crying throughout Egypt. And finally, after that night was over, Pharaoh got Moses and Aaron and he brought them in and he said, "Get out, get out, get out." I'm telling you what, people, amen, if you'll stand, God will show up and he will work on your behalf. And I'm telling you what, your day's going to come. Your day's going to come. Amen, I'm telling you what, it was 400 long years. They were beaten down, but their day was getting ready to come. It was about to happen. And as we had read earlier, Moses said unto the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you up from this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten. This day came out ye in the month of Abib." They came out. They said it maybe was 3 to 6 million people. And I'm going to show you how God, I'm going to tell you what, you can have one more, we can have more than one day with God. And they came out of Egypt. They were a beaten people. They were a people that were beaten. I'm sure they was happy. But then they came out, and if you read Scripture, God took them the long way around and avoided land of the Philistine for the simple reason, Dave, they wasn't in fighting condition. They couldn't fight. They would have never been able to fight a battle, so he takes them the long way around, and they end up with a Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh, sitting on his throne, has second thoughts about letting them go, and you know the story. He goes after them. And as he goes after them, they're blocked in. And all of a sudden, here they go again. You should have left this there. You should have left this there. I'm telling you what, people sometimes just aggravate me to death. They just came out of Egypt. They're free. And here they are with their very first obstacle, and they start complaining again. And finally Moses had to stand up, and it's not in the PowerPoint, but he had to stand up, and he said basically, stand still and see the salvation of God. And once again, another day came for them. The Red Sea parted. They walked across on dry ground. As they walked across, Pharaoh's army pursued them, and they were swallowed up in the Red Sea. I'm telling you what, I bet they were exuberant on the other side of the Red Sea, because you read they were dancing and singing. The horse and the rider was drowned in the Red Sea. I'm telling you what, people, we think God can only move once. God can move once, twice, as many times as it takes. Your day can come multiple times. Here they are on the other side of the Red Sea, and you read the story about them going through the issues that they went through in the Red Sea. They get on the other side. They get manna from heaven, and they all consumed it, grabbed it, thought they was going to put it in the refrigerator, but they didn't have one, and it spoiled. And what if God was trying to teach them? If he can supply your need today, he can supply your need tomorrow. He can do it day by day, moment by moment. And then they get up right where the promised land. They can see it. Moses sends out the 12 spies. They came back with a negative report. Only two of them came back with a positive report. I'm telling you what, people. We say it all the time. The power of life and death is where? In the power of the tongue. You keep spewing and it's going to be. You spew. You speak life and it's going to be life. You speak hope, there's going to be hope. You speak peace and there's going to be peace. You got to speak the power of God. You got to speak the oracles of God. Amen. You cannot let the devil get in and tell you God's not, God's not, God's not. You got to stand up and you got to look hell right in the eye sometimes. And you got to say, devil, my day's coming. My day's coming. God's going to move for me. It might look a little bit bleak right now. My back might be up against the wall right now. I might not know what to do right now. But sometimes, Brian, the word says we just got to stand and see. As Moses told him, stand still and see the salvation of God. Sometimes you got to stand. Sometimes you got to put your heels in. And sometimes you got to say, God, I believe that you are the Lord. Spies come back with a negative report. And God cast judgment upon these people. And they had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 long years. But in that 40 long years, the miracle was their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Sometimes God blesses us in spite of ourselves. And I'm going to tell you how the promises of God work. It was given to Abraham. It was given to Isaac. And it was given to Jacob. I believe if you go into the last part of Genesis, Jacob is dying. And he's talking about the promises that God gave his father. Abraham's dead. Isaac's dead. Jacob's dead. The three patriarchs are dead. Now Moses is not allowed to go over, and God takes him up. So basically Moses is gone. But the promises of God will not diminish. What we have been given will not diminish. What was given on Market Street will not diminish. My dad might be gone. Others in my granny might be gone. My grandpa might be gone. Brother and sister Tipton might be gone. And others that have went on to be with God. But that does not diminish the promises of God one bit. Amen. My dad might have been the pastor. He's gone. But that doesn't stop the promises of God. Abraham's dead. Isaac's dead. Jacob's dead. Amen. Moses is gone. Amen. But there was a new man that rose up. Amen. His name's Joshua. Amen. And Joshua, as we know the story, he spies out, amen, Jericho. Amen. But even before they go over to spy it out, amen, there was another day coming. In Joshua chapter 3, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priest, amen, that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far from the city." Amen, Adam. That is beside Zertan. "And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off." Man, I'm telling you what, God stepped it up with a plunger. "And they were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark, amen, of the covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Amen. You know what happened? The promise that was given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the promise that was reiterated to Moses at the burning bush. Even though Isaac's gone, Abraham's gone, Jacob's gone, Moses is gone, the promise, amen, still stood. And the child, glory to God, and the children of Israel had their day as they walked on dry ground and stepped into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Well, glory to God, their day came. And I'm telling you, your day will come if you just believe in the promises of God. I'm about ready to run. They go across. You know the story of how he sent the spies in and Rahab lowered them down. You know the strategy that he got from God to march around the city that was walled, they said, as wide as a chariot. The Bible says that they marched around seven times. On the seventh day, they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, and the walls fell. The Bible said that because of that, the rest of the inhabitants of the land were afraid of them because of their God. Now, he got into some trouble with some people down the way, took a small army and thought he could do it on his own, and got his tail whooped. I'm telling you what right now, without God, you're not going to make it. We can see what's going on in this country of ours. Amen. They have turned their nose up at God and they have walked away from God. And we see the perversion and the hate that's in this country today that I have never seen in my life. And you know what it is? America, amen, not all, but most, amen, has stubbed their nose at God. Our churches have become social centers. Our churches have just become a place to come and sit on a pew. Amen, tap your foot, clap your hand, and walk out the door. But I'm telling you what, those people will never see the yes of God. They will never see God say yes, because they're not walking in a covenant with Him. We need to get back to covenant relationships. Did you hear me? A covenant relationship with Almighty God. And I'm telling you what, Abraham didn't seek God out. Amen. God came to Abram. Matt, there's something about you that God loves. There's something about us that God loves. And God wants to bless. And God wants to give. Amen. And God wants to show. Well, I'm telling you what, I'm all about that. Come on, bless me. Come on, show me. Come on. Amen. Hold me today, God. Well, He will if we'll walk in a covenant relationship with Almighty God today. I want to see the wow of God. I preached a message a long time ago. Maybe I'll preach it again. It was a good one. It was called Good Enough. Once they got over, there was a couple tribes that just, we'll stay over here. It's not worth risking our people for. It's not worth fighting for. Amen. It's not worth, we're going to stay on this side of Jordan. I'm telling you what, that's not what God promised them. Good enough doesn't cut it. I'm telling you, good enough doesn't cut it. We become a church of good enough. Yeah, that's good enough. Amen. Well, we had an okay service. Well, that's good enough. But man, he preached way too long. He got way too loud. The worship team way too loud. If it's too loud, sit on the back pew. I want to see the power and the glory of God. I want to break out. I want to break forth. I don't know about you, but I want to step into my spiritual Jordan. And I want to see the waters part. And I want to step into my days coming. If you want to see your day come, you're going to have to believe the now of God. You know, the Bible talks about faith. In Hebrews, it says, starts that scripture out as now faith. Not yesterday's faith. Not tomorrow's faith, but now faith. Israel stood and stepped into the promised land. And I'm telling you what, nothing will stop the promises from coming except you. You're the only one. You're the only one. You know what will put the brakes on God moving for you? Doubt and unbelief. He'll put the brakes on it like right now. It will come to a screeching halt. Like Susan driving on ice. It will just spin out of control. Now, how many wants to stop that? How many wants to stop that? It was no fun flipping that blazer, was it? Skidding on. There wasn't even ice out. It was just a wet road. And she flipped the blazer two or three times. How out of control did you feel? Pretty much. Come out okay. Thank God for that. I didn't have to put on my work clothes and go see her in the hospital. Thank God for that. But how did you feel? So what I'm trying to say is, don't let things get out of control. Take a breath. You got a son, his life's out of control. But you need to take a breath and say, God is God. Whether he understands it or not, you do. We've got situations going on in our lives that we can get out of control on. We're good at getting out of control. Take a breath. Take a breath. Take a breath. I was talking to Billy Loudermilk yesterday. I'm telling you what, he's a broken man. And I understand why. His wife of 44 years is going to die if God doesn't move. But I told him as I was talking to him, point blank, I said, don't you dare question God on this situation. If you go down that rabbit hole in your frame of mind, you'll never come out. I told him, I said, God's in control. You believe that he's sovereign. You believe that he's holy. You got to believe that he's perfect. And you got to believe that he knows what he's doing. We might not see it. We might not understand it. I'm sure the Israelites, the Bible doesn't say, but when they got out, I'm sure some of them said, Moses, why are you taking us the long way around? Why can't we just go straight across the field here? Why can't we go that way? It's a lot closer. But they had no idea that if they had went across the Philistines' land, there would have been a fight and they would have been slaughtered because they weren't in a condition to fight. God knew that. So when it seems like God, I'm going to close. When it seems like God's taking you the long way around, come on, people. He's in control. Okay? He knows my name, every step that I take. And I'm going to tell you this. I've been young. David said I was young and I was old and I never saw the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Because of who you are, God's going to work it out for Chris. We don't know how, we don't know when, but God's going to work it out and we're going to stand on that promise. Things can get haywire, people. I'm going to tell you, they can get out of spot, they can get out of control. Like I said last week, like having a car heading down an incline without the brake on. Trouble's heading. But I'm going to tell you what, stop the trouble before it even begins. You tell the devil, no. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You. I'm talking about you. You stop the enemy in his tracks. You speak the word of God to him. You speak the promises of God to him. I don't have all the answers. A lot of things I don't understand. But I knew that all the promises are true. If you look at the promises concerning the Messiah, the last words in Malachi chapter 4 says, for behold, the day cometh. Coming a day. That shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. The 400 years after that was given, nothing was given from heaven. For 400 years, heaven was silent. But Sister Loretta, one day, a little virgin girl named Mary was minding her own business, and the angel of the Lord came to her and said, you are favored among women, for behold, you're going to bring forth a son, and he shall save his people, and ye shall call his name Jesus. 400 years of silence. Then one night in a city called Bethlehem, Mary brought forth a son, laid him in the manger, and the heavens opened up, and they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. That day came.
Now, a lot of us are waiting on the rapture, which I am. But I'm waiting for God to move now. Okay? I'm wanting to see God move now. I'm wanting to see my day come now. Bible says in Galatians, one of my favorite scriptures, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Life is determined by choices we make. You got to stand. You got to believe. And when you stand and believe, I'm going to tell you what, church, your day is going to come. I believe that with all my heart, that our day's coming. Let's everybody stand if we would.